Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:40, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today is December 8th. Well, it is looking increasingly like we can't take our eyes off the market because the news flow is changing so very quickly. We certainly have got a massive move today in the euro. And part of the reason for that overall is because of the ECB meeting. But it isn't just because of that, it is also because of what is happening in Italy, and that the political landscape or the tapestry of the politics in Italy is changing very rapidly. What we are certainly seeing is that the populist movement is certainly looking on the referendum as an opportunity to try and force a snap election. And there is speculation that Renzi might be inclined to give them their wish in the hope that he would be able to muster enough of support in the very short term to ensure that a pro-euro government is enshrined, at least for another, shall we say, 12 months. But when we look at what it is exactly that the ECB is doing, I am very much reminded of the fiddlers on the deck of the Titanic as it was sinking. They had a job to do. What were they doing? They were playing the violin. That was what they were hired to do, and yet they didn't try to exit. Of course, the ECB can't exit the Eurozone. There is no Eurozone without the ECB, and there is no ECB without the Eurozone. When you go to Frankfurt, you can see very clearly that the ECB has got this brand spanking new building directly across the road from the German central bank, the Bundesbank, and in fact there is a tunnel between the two. And friends of mine that work at the ECB spend half their day working in the Bundesbank. So anyone who thinks that the ECB works independently of what happens in Germany is very much mistaken, and that is perhaps one of the greatest flaws within the Eurozone. It is one of the things that has contributed most to the problems that they have, is that there is this massive divergence between policy and politics. And these populist movements have been able to flourish as a result of that, because there is the policy. And the policy at the ECB is to make as much liquidity available as is required, and that QE, QE round was due to end in March, and that is only a deadline on paper. There is absolutely no deadline to the amount of money the ECB can print or lend or use to buy back bonds of any country. If we are seriously talking about the potential that the ECB might in fact disappear and be reabsorbed back into the Bundesbank. So that's what we saw in here today, that the ECB said that they were going to extend their quantitative easing purchases, that there will be additional purchases overall. And just like we saw with the Federal Reserve, when they engaged in limitless quantities of quantitative easing, that was bearish for the dollar overall. And that is now what we're seeing for the euro. Obviously, there were a lot of people who were rather surprised by the large upward dynamic that we saw at the beginning of this week. It's hard to imagine that it is only a week, that we're only a Thursday today. But what it does help to suggest is that there is a lot of money flowing in and out of these currencies, and these are very large moves overall. That the euro moved almost 3 full cents today from peak to trough, and it moved by a similar margin on Monday from trough to peak. So this, though, is quite different to what we saw on previous occasions when the euro was trading at the lower side of its range. On the two previous occasions, what we had were very clear upward dynamics that were sustained through the end of the week, and then we had follow through subsequently. This week we've had the upward dynamic, but it has been completely countermanded. Now, the euro is still trading above 105, and that is a very key psychological level. But when we start to think about everything that could potentially go wrong, and obviously everyone is talking about Italy right now, but of course, Italy is only one of the big decisions that Europe has to make within the next 12 months. And what happens in France is going to be much more important. The French would have voted to get out of the EU on any number of occasions had they been given the choice. So the big question is whether they are going to be able to overcome their reticence about supporting the National Front Party. And that really is a very large question indeed. When we look at the euro, though, we have had another clear downward dynamic, and in the absence of a clear upward dynamic, then we would now have to give the benefit of the doubt to the downside. What we are certainly starting to see, though, is when we look at the euro stocks, which is just a broad index of European shares, it is breaking out. It is breaking out of a more than year-long range, and this is potentially the beginning of something similar to what we saw back at the beginning of 2015. In 2015, the euro went down a lot, and in nominal prices, in terms of nominal appreciation, the stock market went up a lot. A very simple reflection of the just the speed with which the euro was going down. And I think that the market is now positioning itself for a potentially similar move overall. The Italian index was also breaking out in here today. It was the worst performing index in Europe until, I think, just this week. And it is rapidly moving into almost positive territory. If we look at where are we in terms of those moves, then until early this week, the Italian index was down around 20%, and right now it is down 13%. And if it keeps going up at 1 and 2 and 3% a day, then there is the possibility that it could finish the year in positive territory in nominal terms and still be down quite considerably in US dollar terms. I think that people are starting to dust off their hedged exposure trades. And we have had quite a number of examples of this already. There was the hedge Japan trade when the Japanese were devaluing their currency. There was the hedged euro trade at the beginning of 2015. If anyone had predicted that the UK would vote for Brexit, they would have had a hedged pound trade on, and we can see quite clearly that that had a very marked effect overall on the FTSE 100, where it just shot higher following the referendum. And in fact, it has now bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average, because I suspect that traders are betting that the pound isn't going to be getting very much stronger if the euro is deteriorating at a rapid pace. But on top of that, of course, it is that when we look at what the weightings are on the FTSE 100, then it is stacked full of globally oriented companies, and the largest weighting overall is HSBC. And that is a share that has been largely range bound, and it has been an incredibly, I guess, volatile range for 16 years, but it is certainly rallying from the lower side right now. If you take HSBC, Royal Dutch Shell, and BP, then you're looking at upwards of 20% of the index. In fact, it's more than 20%, it's more like 22%. And then those are shares that are certainly moving higher in here. And when you've got just three of the constituents doing that well, then that is going to lend a tailwind to the index overall. And I think that when we look at HSBC, it is just an example of another bank that is rising on a tide of renewed enthusiasm that they may be able to put some of the problems that they've had over the last decade behind them. Even Standard Chartered, which really got itself into trouble for lending a great deal of money to the commodity sector, has looking increasingly likely that it has turned the corner. But it is perhaps in the US that we have had the greatest change overall. I think a lot of people have been looking at the big move that has already occurred in the S&P 500 banks index, but those are big banks, and those are banks that have got very large franchises overall, and not least internationally. But the KBW Regional Banks Index is a little bit different. It is smaller banks overall, and generally those that cater to regional markets and are perhaps a better reflection overall of what's happening in the US economy. And it has broken out to new all-time highs. And I think that if you had asked anybody back in 2008 how long it would take for a bank index to move to new all-time highs, they would probably have given you an answer in the realm of decades rather than years. And yet, here we are, that it has now broken to new all-time highs. That is a clear vote of confidence that the US economy is coming out really a long way ahead. When we look at the European banking sector, then it has really just broken back above the 200-day moving average, and it has broken the year-long progression of lower rally highs. So there is potential that with the euro going down, that the banking sector will do a bit better in nominal terms, and that there is the prospect of an additional rally back up towards the upper side of the base. But if we contrast what is happening in Europe relative to what is happening in the US, then we are presented with two very, very different equations here. When we look at what is the prospect, I think it's a big question. It's something that probably a lot of people are really trying to think about. But what would happen if the euro were to break up? What would happen to stock markets? The German market could well fall because a new Deutsche Mark would be considerably stronger than the euro. And that would put downward pressure in nominal terms on stock prices, but it would also represent quite a challenge for US or for German manufacturers. And we even saw statistics yesterday that German factory orders were really very firm, and obviously that is because the euro is so weak. If the euro were to strengthen, or the Deutsche Mark were to strengthen, then that would act as a headwind for that particular stock market. But if we've seen anything from the devaluation of currencies internationally, if the euro were to split up and Italy were to regain international competitiveness, and most particularly competitiveness relative to Germany, then the stock market could rally in nominal terms, but of course the currency could potentially be 30 to 40% below where the euro is trading today. So there is certainly an argument for a hedged exposure overall, and particularly hedged exposure to some of the stronger economies within Europe, and perhaps looking at some of the potential for the euro to break down, or indeed to break apart, then this is a potential risk for 2017, that it isn't something that we can simply talk about in theoretical terms, that there is certainly the possibility that it might indeed occur, and that obviously the epicenter of risk is in the country that did best from the euro. How much of Germany's incredible success over the last decade has been because its currency has been weaker than it might normally have been? I think that is a profound question, and it is something that is probably less of an issue for some of the peripheral countries. They have been beaten into the ground already by having such a, by having a currency that is entirely too strong for their respective economies if they were to get the wherewithal to print their own currencies once more, then they would have instant renewed competitiveness, and then that would perhaps lead them to come out of a crisis in quite a bit better form overall. So there really is a lot to think about, and I think that this is a very fast-moving environment, and that we really do have to keep an eye on the charts overall. Now, meanwhile, in the commodity markets, oil prices were a little bit firmer in here today. So far, the breakout to new highs has been sustained. Certainly not in, and so far this looks like just a short-term consolidation, but it would really require a break of the medium-term progression of higher reaction lows, which is generally speaking in the $43 to $44 area, to really question potential for higher lateral ranging. I posted this chart in here today, but when I was looking at that graphic yesterday from Ian Little's presentation at Markets Now, then shipping was right next to commodities. So I started looking at shipping companies, and some of them are rallying from the lower side of long-term ranges. Now, they also have very high dividends overall, and generally speaking, that's not great news. It suggests that the prices have come down an awful lot. But if oil prices are heading higher and economic growth is going to be better as a result of fiscal stimulus, then the potential for the shipping industry to begin to turn around, and not least because this is the end of the year, and I think a lot of people will be looking at sectors that have not yet bottomed or that have not yet demonstrated that they can find a low, then shipping is certainly one of those, and there really aren't that many left. When we look at the just the sector overall, the market caps have been decimated in these shares. You can see them here, and if I rank them from large to small, then there's only one that has got a market cap of more than 5 billion, and there are a significant number that are trading at below a billion. And considering how much money it takes to build new ships, then there are a significant number of these companies that are valued at below the value of the ships they actually own. So certainly they have an issue with a lot of supply, and a lot of new ships have come online, and that has contributed to prices falling overall. But at the same time, even the worst bear market will eventually end, and these shares have certainly been out in the cold for a long time already. So I think that's something I'm going to be keeping quite a close eye on over the next few months. And the other market that really caught my eye in here today was India, because the rupee has continued to strengthen. That it got the dollar here is would be when the dollar is moving higher, this chart goes up. So the dollar got right back up to test its peaks early this week, but has been pulling back. And the demonetization of the most common notes used in daily life could almost be characterized as demonization of the currency markets, but it isn't likely to represent anything other than a medium term, or I guess a one quarter headwind for the Indian economy. And there is the potential that it could be very bullish indeed for the banking sector, because it will bring a lot of unbanked people into the system. And it is interesting that the banks index is stabilizing in the region of the 200-day moving average. If indeed this ploy to bring a lot of the black market into the open in fact works, then the size of the Indian economy might have to be revised upwards, considering just how much of it is based on cash, which might indeed change over the coming years, and the implementation of technology, and most particularly smartphones and online banking, could really help in that regard. Broadly speaking, when we look at the bond markets, then, and I'm not typing very well. When we look at the bond markets, we've already had a big move, and the prices are still really very weak. There is still, because banks are going up so quickly on the auspices that interest rates are going to rise, bond markets are coming off with for exactly the same reason. And the 30-year was down an additional point and a half in here today. Nevertheless, this is a deep short-term oversold condition. So even if we believe that inflation is going to come back into the public consciousness, if we believe that interest rates are going to rise once more, then the question is how much of that has already been priced into the market? Because interest rates are almost certainly going to rise next week when the Fed meets, but they're not going to rise by more than a quarter of a point in all likelihood. And therefore, I think a lot of people will be looking for what the Fed is going to say. If the Fed says they're going to look to raise interest rates four times next year, then this decline will continue. On the other hand, if the Fed were to say that they don't yet know how many times they would like to raise interest rates and will base it all on data and how things are panning out, then there is the potential for bonds to begin to rally once more. So there is, of course, then the question of how all this fiscal stimulus is going to be funded, and of course, it will be with additional supply. We also know that supply increases at the top of every bull market, and certainly supply has been increasing and is likely to increase quite a bit more if a large fiscal stimulus is employed. So then any short covering rally or relief rally that we get in bonds will be a rather attractive opportunity overall to initiate short positions, I suspect. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.